Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Good morning, 810 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. We've got Shane Tucker, Chief Tucker, Chief Deputy at Santa Rosa Sheriff's Office on the line. Hey, Chief, welcome back. Happy post-Easter. Oh, hold on. There we go. Sorry about that. We had you turned off for a second. Go ahead.
Hey, good morning, Andrew. How are you today?
Oh, man, I'm doing fantastic. We had a lot of stuff we want to get to with you. Let's just kind of get right into it. The first one is on Friday, we had a homicide in Navarre on Salamanca Street, right?
Yes, sir. Just after 1 p.m., we were called about a shooting in that area. And when deputies got on scene, they found a deceased male with what appeared to be a gunshot wound. Fortunately, there were witnesses that were able to help them, you know, quickly identify a suspect. A perimeter was set up, and within a relatively short period of time, the suspect was taken into custody. So he is now in jail on a first-degree murder charge.
Was this outside? Was this in a home? Do we know a motive? What else do we know, if anything?
I am not aware of any motive at this time, but it's my understanding that this did take place outside on a property in Navarre.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, quick work, but man, a horrible thing to have happen. We also had you guys arrested somebody that was actually wanted on a murder from Escambia County in Santa Rosa County last week, right?
We sure did. Escambia County had a homicide, and they identified a suspect, Nathaniel Cunningham. Their investigators, our investigators, were all looking for him for some time. We located him over here in the Milton area. A short pursuit took place, and our deputies utilized a pit technique to immobilize his car, and he was taken into custody without any further injuries. It's my understanding that he had some narcotics on him, so we put some additional charges on him as well.
And this kind of stuff happens all the time. I mean, we had one of Santa Rosa criminals was, pitted in Escambia County. I think we had a Foley. Somebody got pitted in Escambia County. I mean, you know, the interagency cooperation both within Florida, even across state lines, is pretty robust, right?
It certainly is. You know, the criminals aren't stopped at county lines. You know, Escambia criminals come here, our criminals go there, and they're back and forth. So, you know, it definitely behooves everybody for us to have a good partnership, and we do with our local partners in the area, with the Escambia Sheriff's Office, the Pensacola Police Department, the Milton Police Department. We all kind of work in concert to take these bad guys off the street to make citizens safer, and this is just a good example of that teamwork.
We had another incident, and this has become more known locally because it happened to involve a former candidate for Congress's son. But the real issue here was threats against the Holly Navarre Middle School, right?
In the latter part of March, some of our school resource deputies received a report of a potential school shooting in the Navarre area. This information was alleged to have been posted initially on a social media outlet. So deputies went to work doing investigations, talking to students. Ultimately, they got a search warrant and reviewed some data from Snapchat, a social media outlet, and the investigating deputies were able to determine that there was probable cause to arrest the student for allegedly making an act of a school shoot or a threat of a school shooting.
But in this case, he surrendered to the Santa Rosa County Sheriff's Office. This wasn't a go out and arrest, right?
My understanding is that the juvenile and his parents turned himself in. But
okay. So he's 13. Is that right? Do I remember right? That's the right age?
That sounds correct.
Okay. And the only reason I bring that up is because I think a lot of people had the question, why are they putting a 13-year-old's or 14? I know it's right in that vicinity. Picture. You know, sort of out, and the answer is because of the charges, right?
Correct. When a juvenile is charged with a felony crime or a crime that would be a felony if charged as an adult, then their pictures are not exempt from public record. That is my understanding.
And now, you guys don't have any discretion about that, right? Like, you couldn't say, yeah, but we don't think so in this case.
Correct. If it's public record, it's public record, and
okay.
We're not at liberty to determine that we're not going to release it if somebody wants it.
Because I'll tell you my opinion, I don't like it. I don't like release. No matter almost what they do at that age, it's just, you know. I know it's not your choice because it's the law, right? But I don't like publicizing. I mean, you can hear the way even I'm talking about this story and who's involved. I'm more so for people who already know the story. You know who we're talking about. If you don't, I don't really need to tell you because I just don't think this revealing of the ID for that young of a child for things they've done is appropriate. But it's also worth saying, I know in our house, the conversation we had with our kids was, you know, this is what was said on social media, allegedly. Can you guys just be sure that you use some good judgment and don't make jokes and don't say, you know, like you got to think this way, right?
Sure. And, you know, Andrew, it's really worth noting. If you look at school shootings and active shooter events that have taken place in this country in the last several decades, in virtually all of the instances, the shooter gave some indication of what was going to occur, what he or she was going to do. And that's almost every time. There's social media posts. There's comments to friends. There's in hindsight, people look back and say, wow, I should have said something. You know, and after the fact is not the time to take these threats seriously. And we certainly do take these threats seriously.
Right.
You remember just a few weeks ago, it seems like we arrested somebody from New Jersey for making some threats. And we talked about then how this puts everybody at danger. You know, so this is something that we have to deal with aggressively and assertively.
You know, I have a thought about that, but I want to hold it for just a second. We're talking to Shane Tucker, Santa Rosa Sheriff's Office Chief Deputy. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
Accident 29 southbound north of the mill. Now, it's still slow, but it's still down to one lane, but it's a lot shorter than it was. Now, it's just up to Grocery Advantage, it looks like. So just moving slow. Pack your patience. 437-1620. If you have traffic tips, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. Back to Chief Tucker. Chief, that being said, there are also many, many, many people who make threats or say things that then don't actually act on them. I agree with you. It is almost a necessary precondition that they would have done this early. But there's a lot of times when they pan out to be nothing. And that's my only concern is also, I know we got to take it seriously, but somebody who makes a threat doesn't mean they're going to act on it, right?
You know, you raise a really good point, but you know, like you just described a few moments ago, you sat with your children and you talked about the importance of this. It's important for parents to teach their children there are some things that it's not okay to joke about.
Right.
And it's not okay to joke about shooting people. It's not okay to joke about shooting up schools. And children have to learn that. You know, when I was in school, we didn't really have the prevalence of school shooters. So
right.
My parents never sat down and had a discussion with me not to joke about shooting up a school. But unfortunately, in 2023, that's a conversation that parents need to have with their kids. This is not funny, and it's not appropriate for you to joke about. And these are the consequences that could occur if you do.
And it's not an appropriate way to vent your emotions, you know, it just because of the environment we're in. That's exactly right. Last thing I wanted to ask you about, possibly the strangest story, so you'll have to explain it to me. My understanding is that we found some iguanas in a truck bed. What happened here?
You know, we certainly did. Last Monday afternoon, one of our deputies was working up on Interstate 10 and conducted a traffic stop. In the course of this otherwise routine traffic stop, he discovered that the driver was transporting, I believe it was about 13 iguanas in the bed of his pickup truck. That doesn't seem so odd, but each one of the reptiles had its legs duct taped behind its back. So all four of those little legs were duct taped and kind of contorted behind its back during transport. So they were just, I guess, laying, you know, belly on the bed of the pickup truck. One of them had actually died. One of the iguanas was actually deceased when the deputy discovered him. I really don't know the purpose of him. I don't know if he was transporting them for food or for pets or what, but he was ultimately arrested for driving without a license as well as animal abuse.
Well, good work in the end, but just such a strange story. Shane Tucker, he's the Chief Deputy Santa Rosa Sheriff's Office. Chief, as always, thanks for the conversation, the information, and what you do to keep us safe, sir. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Andrew. Talk to you soon. You